This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. There's been lots of talk, particularly on the pro AV side of digital signage, about how traditional corporate AV and IT roles and needs are converging. And there's been a lot of discussion as well about the pros and cons of shifting from more conventional ways of moving content around screen networks with dedicated hardware and cabling to using the networking infrastructure of an end user customer. I had an interesting chat with John Marshall, the CEO of Calgary-based Userful, going back 2 or 3 years ago at ISC, when he was relatively new to the company. He talked at length and in detail that was at times way the hell over my head about the shift he expected to see with digital signage going to AV over IP solutions. That's now happening in a big way, he says, accelerated in part by technology advances, but also because of all the upheaval of the past couple of years, when video stream meetings went from something done here and there to near constant. We spoke last week about where using networks to move informational content around is at, how it works and why you should care, and about a new partnership his company has developed with display giant LG. John, thank you for joining me. You're in Calgary today, right? But you kind of cycle between Calgary and San Francisco area?
Back and forth every 2 weeks, but yes, I'm in Calgary today.
Okay. How has that worked out in the last couple of years with travel restrictions and everything?
You know, it's been an interesting challenge because I've had an opportunity to see different cities, different cultures, different reactions to the pandemic. And I've seen a lot of differences. But overall, I'd say the overall trends, you know, whether it be relating to work from home, return to work, you know, accessibility, you know, for certain businesses and the like, it's fairly similar between.
Okay. We're talking because your company recently announced, and I'm going to read this because that's easier, an end-to-end software-defined AV over IP solution that combines Userful's visual networking platform and LG's WebOS signage platform to optimize display networks for control rooms, digital signage networks, corporate signage, and video walls. That's a mouthful. I was saying before I hit start that I'm not that strong on AV over IP, and I had to read the press release about 4 times before I started to kind of get a grasp of it. What does all this mean in practical terms, and why should people in the digital signage industry who would be listening to this, why should they care?
Well, I got my career started in Silicon Valley at 3Com Corporation, then launched another company that was foundational in building broadband. And the mindset of the IT industry, the mindset of the networking world is being able to access multiple nodes, being able to access a range of devices across the network. And so this concept of network-based solutions is very powerful. It means I can get to almost anything, anywhere, anytime. And when you shift over into the AV world, the traditional mindset is around quality of video. If we really look at making sure we're going to deliver the very best quality video for advertising, mm-hmm. or for monitoring, you know, the safety of a situation through cameras and the like, you're always optimizing for quality, and you don't want to bring into play the interference that comes with a network, latency, security risks, and the like. Mm-hmm. But more and more, as we move towards wanting to see more and more information, combinations of video and data from multiple sources around a company, around the globe, as we're trying to do more with it, making sure it's networked is valuable. You get access to more information. You can do more with more information. So you're willing to make some trade-offs on quality to get more information from different sources. And I think that's where the AV industry is headed today. We're looking at multi-source delivery of content to multiple displays, and that just demands a networked model.
And are some of the issues that were kind of barriers to adoption, like concerns, as you mentioned, around latency and, you know, the buffering icon on the screen, or blocky, pixelated videos, has that largely been solved?
I'd say that's being solved.
Okay.
And part of the issue is, as we're moving from an AV world that's quality focused to a networked world that's AV over IP, you have to address those things like you described, how latency affects the availability of the video, right? That's the swirling circle, right? Saying, mm-hmm. It's buffering. Or I'm trying to deliver video to a single video to many, many displays distributed around the globe. Well, how do I do that without, taking on massive cost of wide area network charges, right? Like the broadband delivery or the, MPLS delivery of mm-hmm. content to my employees. Or how do I chop it up so I can present it on a single, video wall that's comprised of many TVs or many, many displays, or multiple DVLED screens that are backed by multiple controllers? I mean, how do I lace all that together? And transformatting that is challenging. It's very challenging, especially when a network is involved. So I think we're on our way. And I think this really is the year where we start to see that migration.
And is that because technology has improved to a degree that it's possible, like networking technology, or is it as much to do with an understanding of what's possible?
I think it's a combination, right? I think that we've started seeing, the ability to present multiple, the interest, the demand for seeing multiple sources of data on screens. A good example, if I'm in a control room environment, I want to see combination of security video feeds. I want to see production video feeds, but I also want to see that side by side with data, IoT fed data. I want to see AI, showing me what the correlation between video productivity, factory floor production with, information about supply chain. I want to see that all on a single screen. And that's my control room environment. If I move over to look at advertising or marketing, I want to see social media feeds, in parallel with advertisement or video footage promoting a product. I mean, all of it goes hand in hand. And I think that's what the consumer is becoming more accustomed to through consumer channels, right? Mm-hmm. I can gather a lot more information today through my computer, through my mobile phone, than I can through my business fed video stream, right? Mm-hmm. Or my business channels. And so I really think we just have to keep moving at the pace of consumer desire for video, audio, data fed content.
You're describing stuff that can be done right now, but I assume what you're saying is the way it's done right now may involve a whole bunch of different software components, a bunch of APIs, and a whole bunch potentially of hardware components to pull it all together. And you're saying with AV over IP, a lot of that can be stripped out of it and made more efficient. Is that accurate?
Well, I think what I'm saying is that we've found ways in the past when we had kind of a segregated AV department of a company mm-hmm. to do it according to the standards defined by National Association of Broadcasters, right, that drive highest quality video. But that really was more of a point-to-point driven solution. I've got one source device to one screen.
Right.
Also, that video content was so voluminous. How do I move it across a data network that's only operating, say, at 10 megabits per second? That's hard, real hard. Mm-hmm. We're now at a place where the encoding technologies have progressed. Data networks are now operating at, you know, greater than 10 gigabits per second. We've got, you know, communication networks that are flourishing both on the local area network and the wide area network. So distribution between facilities is more viable. We've got much more storage capacity, so we can load more video, you know, digital video onto our networks. And the compute, the availability of compute for CPU or GPU has progressed. Moore's law has taken us further. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the combination of all of those things, we're now at this inflection point where all of them align and are matching up with that demand for more data, more video, more audio, all in parallel, and the stars are aligning.
So in a typical corporate environment, how would this play out if they were using a userful solution, let's say with the LG WebOS solution for digital signage?
The first thing is that LG Userful sat down and looked at which environment we need to standardize around. And the first decision that was made was, if we're moving video onto IP or data networks, we really need to be focused on the standards, the protocols of the IT world. And so prioritizing those codecs, prioritizing those streaming protocols, for example, RTSP, real-time streaming protocol, mm-hmm. ensures that we provide for quality while making sure that we're latency sensitive on those data networks. And using those standards of the IT world makes the IT world comfortable bringing AV onto their network more so than ever before. And I think that's the core of what we've done, is we've focused on IT standards.
So what would that mean then? If I was, let's say, a financial services company and I came to Userful and LG and said, I want to do this. I want to have KPI dashboards in all of my sales and customer contact areas. I want to be able to pull in a bunch of data from different business systems within the organization. What can you do versus what my AV solutions people are suggesting, which is, as you said earlier, a point-to-point solution?
Yeah, and they're going to initially say, "How if I start from the point-to-point solution, then I have to segregate that and isolate that solution on my network."
That's a walled garden, basically.
The walled garden, you know, and the IT department automatically doesn't want to do that, because more and more we're consolidating in the data center or we're consolidating in the cloud. So they don't want to have all these islands all over the corporation where they have to send IT staff out to manage that island. Mm-hmm. So if I can now centralize that infrastructure, if I can centralize in the data center, it makes for a much easier solution. But the concern, the risk that they have is, well, I've now got all that AV traffic flowing back and forth across my corporate network. What's that going to do to the rest of my data network? Mm-hmm. How does that adversely affect that? So what we see today is they'll typically start still isolating. They'll create that island, but then they'll see how they can start to pull portions of it back into the data center, or how they can manage it from the data center remotely, even though it's still an island. And that's what our AV over IP architecture provides. It's a platform, a software-defined solution that allows for remote manageability from IT's central of that island that's remote, using all of those network management protocols, having, you know, security and policy, enterprise policy in place, like role-based access control, security provisions that they're familiar with, that keeps it secure across the network. And then as they grow more and more familiar and comfortable with that island, they can pull it fully back to the data center and or then start deploying more and more from the data center. And that's the trajectory we're seeing already today from, I don't know, at least at Userful. We've seen that from the last 10 customers that we've deployed at.
And are you, in doing that sort of thing, stripping out hardware components and therefore lowering capital costs, or are you having to also upgrade the networking components to handle that, you know, all the 4K video files that are now streaming?
I'd say yes to both of those. Okay. So the three anchors there are, first, you know, we come from a world where you're putting a PC behind a display that can decode the encoded video that was sent from the given source. And whether that's a full-fledged PC or whether that's a thin client, you know, we also have options like Xero clients, you know, out there today. All of these different technologies are basically, you know, available for decode. Mm-hmm. But what you don't have is you don't have the manageability. You don't have the security profile that you would ideally like. And so what we've done is we've come in and created a software-based solution that allows for you to load basically a soft, you know, PC, a soft client that can be loaded onto the display that allows for it to replace that hardware that traditionally sat behind that display. So you remove hardware there, you lower carbon footprint, you lower energy consumption, it's much more beneficial. But the other side of it is you increase manageability, because now you're actually directly managing the endpoint, you're managing the display, and you're not having to manage both a device that's behind the display and then try over just that HDMI connection over that CEC link. You're not trying to manage the display with the older HDMI technologies and CEC technologies that we had from the AV world. You have more of the network management tools that the IT world's familiar with.
So you're putting the software client on the smart display, the LG WebOS system on chip device that's embedded in the display, right?
Correct. And we've done this very successfully with all of the digital signage displays from LG. Mm-hmm. We've done this with all of the video wall displays from LG. We've done those with all of the DVLED solutions from LG, and it runs beautifully, beautifully. But to get there, we had to actually work with LG to do some redesign and some upgrades to their media engine within that system, within the WebOS displays, and ensure that then on top of that media engine, it could support RTSP and then support our application in kind. So it did take some rewiring for a networked, latency-oriented AV world that's running over IP, mm-hmm. and that's a challenge.
So if I'm an end user and say, hey, I'm interested in this, we have a network already in place, but we're using Samsung smart displays that are running Tizen, or we're using Sony or Philips or Sharp NEC or whatever that's running Android, can we do it? What do you tell them?
We say absolutely yes. So Userful's already developed our soft client for WebOS and deployed that with LG successfully. We've already developed it for Tizen, for Android, for Linux. We have a client for each.
So what's the distinction then between what you're doing with LG versus some of the other guys? Because the press that came out, you kind of said that some of the other guys were a bit behind. They hadn't managed, they failed at some of the things that needed to be done.
I'd say it's one thing to develop, for Userful to go develop a soft client that can be loaded onto a display. We can deliver content to that display, regardless of manufacturer, regardless of OS. However, if you want to make sure that you're providing for real-time streaming protocol, that protocol has to go right into the heart of that smart display and manage its media engine, right? Its pipeline. And so not everyone has been able to successfully integrate RTSP. So therefore, they're not going to be as latency sensitive as, say, an LG WebOS display that, you know, can provide for gaming quality latency, right? Less than 50 milliseconds of latency. I mean, that's impressive across a corporate network. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get to that level, you really need to collaborate and look at those protocols, those IT protocols, in a new way.
Right. So it's a distinction between we can do it and we can do it better.
Correct. And I would say that also applies to security. Okay. You know, if you want to put certain security standards in place that will make the IT industry comfortable, you have to do that. Not just in the app, you just can't load an app onto the display. You know, you have to actually look for AV, how that flows through the rest of the system.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You mentioned earlier that AV is its own department in some larger corporations, or historically has been, and IT is obviously its own department. There's been lots of talk for the last 5, really 10 years about AV and IT converging. Is that actually happening now, and are AV departments and larger companies going away and becoming just part of IT?
We userful see that happening faster and faster and faster. I think the pandemic has helped facilitate that, right? I mean, there's a whole sector called unified communications, and mm-hmm. we all are these days Zooming or, you know, Microsoft Teaming, right? Or, I mean, whatever it is, we're using AV for core, you know, business meetings and communications. We can't get away from it anymore. And so when you're using unified communications, you know, that is AV. You just happen to be using WebRTC as a protocol, right? But is WebRTC did it come out of the AV world, the National Association of Broadcasters? No. When we look towards, you know, other AV technologies, you know, sharing content from our PC up onto a screen in a huddle room as we return to work, you know, huddle rooms, war rooms, collaboration areas, that's becoming more and more AV driven. And that's something that the IT world's getting more familiar with, and it's becoming core. So that's exactly where we see it headed as well, making sure that we're adopting the right protocols to match those emerging standards for the post-pandemic business operations.
You guys kind of came into came into the digital signage ecosystem, marketing a product that was all about video walls and a different approach to doing video walls as opposed to very hardware focused. This was much more software defined. But you've kind of shifted maybe into AV over IP as being your core focus. Is that accurate? And why did that happen?
Well,
if it is accurate.
You know, it's absolutely accurate. I mean, I joined the company in 2018, and I arrived with that perspective.
You're a networking guy.
I'm a networking guy, but not just a networking guy. The last several companies I was involved in were IoT companies. Mm-hmm. And I saw, you know, square on, I saw more and more businesses, you know, doing more and more with video. But they weren't doing it just to see the videos. They were doing it with a business purpose in mind. For example, you know, worker safety, or, you know, analyzing employee performance. You know, look at truckers or transportation industry wanting to monitor even the eyelids of transportation workers to make sure they were staying awake on long haul deliveries, and making sure that they could correlate that video with data for safety. And as I saw more and more data accumulating and more use of video, I said, we're headed on a trajectory where video is going to come right to the heart of business operations. And I think that's what we're seeing. More and more startups I'm seeing out of Silicon Valley are using video to analyze and create better performing business operations. And so what I started realizing was, well, how are we going to take that data, you know, from companies like Splunk or Palantir, create a data set, create a rule set, create AI, and guide us towards, you know, managed visual operations? Who's doing that? Who's working on that underlying platform that brings all the data, the video together? And I didn't see anyone. And so it was a former board member of mine who was a leader at Wistron, who said that they believed that just like the iPhone or, you know, Android phones would get larger and larger to be the size of an entire wall, and we'd be using, you know, walls kind of like you see in the movies, right?
Dashboards.
The assertion was that there would be an underlying business glue that operated off of video, and there was an opportunity for some company to come forward and create that kind of platform. And they recommended actually that I take a look at this company, Userful, based in Calgary, Canada, because they had done a lot of the work to bring those AV protocols together with the IT protocols. So that was the story back in 2018.
And so you joined the company and had a look at things and said, this is a much more opportune market than staying purely focused just on video walls?
That's absolutely right. It was, what is the hardest problem to solve? Where do we start this AV over IP problem? And our initial thesis was that we started in control rooms, because control rooms are where you're pulling in video feeds, you're pulling in data, mm-hmm. you're trying to manage the network, you're trying to manage security. You start there, and it's an aggregation point for multi-source and multi-display. So if you can solve the control room problem, the emerging modernized control room problem, then you'll be able to address any of the AV over IP challenges that a corporation might be able to face. And naturally, they're very concerned about the timeliness of what they're seeing, mm-hmm. Since it's real-time monitoring. So choosing the right protocols mattered. So that's where we began. And we focused on control rooms and then have evolved towards corporate signage, you know, call centers, logistics centers for data metrics dashboards, and are continuing to expand into meeting rooms and the like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been really interesting in the last 2-3 years that you've started to see pretty broad understanding that the control room environment that, as you say, aggregates all this information. There's so many other environments all the way out to manufacturing floors and, you know, customer contact centers and so on. They all have a need for a dashboard of some kind because it's the most opportune real-time way to communicate to the people working there.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think the interesting thing for us, now if I shift back to, you know, the AV or the digital signage space, digital signage is more accustomed to single source to single output, right? But as we move more and more towards that operations mindset, we're looking at multi-source. So how do you do that without looking across a network? It gets a lot harder, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole mindset shift, right? It's that right. Multi-source is a whole new paradigm.
So is this a situation that obviously in some respects is disintermediating some of the hardware components that are on a traditional point-to-point digital signage network? What does it mean for those companies and those end users who are using CMS software solutions, traditional digital signage monitoring and management solutions? Are they also not necessarily needed in this model, or they're something that plugs in?
I looked at some fairly credible research recently, and I think that there's always going to be a need for traditional digital signage. That market's strong and growing, and there'll still be demand for, you know, single source to single display, you know, application. But as we evolve more and more, I think that we see I think the data suggested by 2026, 2027, you know, a third, you know, maybe more than a third of the market's really shifting towards a software defined approach. And You know, I think that's a pretty fast migration. Especially when you're doing more and more multi-source. I mean, just a standard matrix switcher is not going to get you there. You really need to look at networked-based solutions. So when you look at companies like Netgear, right? Let's talk Netgear very quickly. I think Netgear is quickly evolving, you know, taking traditional, you know, IT networking. They're taking, you know, 10 gigabit switches, and they're introducing an AV mindset into those switches by creating profiles, AV profiles, such that you can, you know, match up the right source device with the right display without having to know all about AV standards. I mean, they're integrating the two in a solutions mindset that I don't see other networking or traditional networking company is doing. They've taken a very unique AV approach to network topologies. So, but I think as we move in that direction, Netgear is a really good example of a hardware-based company that's adapting and bringing that software-defined mindset into their hardware products. So I think that will happen. I also think there will be hardware companies that have traditionally done just, you know, taken source material and coded it and put it out, you know, through a given interface, and they're going to have a lot more to learn. And, you know, and partnering with companies like Userful or like Netgear will be advantageous for them. I just think now is the time to get on that train.
Did Cisco kind of miss the mark on this? I mean, they were in digital signage 10, 12 years ago, selling hardware devices and doing all that. You would think they would have been perfect for this sort of thing.
Well, I mean, I think Cisco's really far out in front of, you know, many. I mean, they have a firm grasp around the right protocols for video, H.264, H.265. You know, they're strong with other technologies like multicast. I mean, and they've got the full portfolio there. But I don't know if Cisco's quite yet seen this migration of the AV segment of the market migrating onto corporate networks. And I don't know if they are or watching, studying, you know, the evolution of the AV industry and the implications for corporate networks in the same way. But, you know, I think that they'll see that probably in the next year or 2 years.
Hmm. All right. You mentioned the next year or 2 years. What might people more broadly see out of Userful going through 2022 and beyond?
I think that one of the key growth opportunities for Userful is recognizing that moving to the data center for a private cloud or enabling AV from either private cloud or public cloud is an important move for the IT department. And as AV moves from being an AV department into IT, we have to be mindful that IT is a much larger organization with different responsibilities. So there's an applications group within most IT departments that are responsible for application selection. Then once an application selected, there's an infrastructure and operations group. And that's typically where we're seeing AV move because it's an infrastructure or operations play. We're seeing that's an area that needs consideration. Security department, the security team within an IT department has a say. So all of these different areas have high relevance, but what we're seeing is that as more and more, you know, sharing of resources becomes relevant, and as AV becomes a shared resource, a multi-source, multi-display resource, that will happen through INO, through infrastructure and operations. And so we're recognizing the need to move from islands to data center. And we have several offerings for private cloud and public cloud that will be announced later in 2022 that will help facilitate that move.
Hmm. All right, John, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I even understood some of it.
Well, thank you for making the time to hear what we had to say.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 16.9 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 16.9, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.